All right. Welcome in to the Toilets Two Titles podcast, episode number 24, week number 6. We're recording live via the YouTube, the Podbean, all that jazz. And while we're recording, we're actually watching football. How beautiful is that? I can think back to this spring when we started up this show and all we could do was daydream about football and watch highlight clips of college football players. But here we are. Not only are we talking about football, we are watching football. And with me this evening to talk about football while we watch it are my co-hosts and a special guest. But first, let me introduce my co-host, Justin at JustinFF underscore. Justin, how are we doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's been a great day. And like you said, watching football, man, you stole my excitement there, but that's okay. We can share it. We just saw the Derrick Henry touchdown, 9-yard touchdown to the right off tackle. So it's a beautiful thing.
Was that the Wolfpack, the NWO Wolfpack thing you had going on there, or
was no, that? I'm not. I'm trying out the puppets on my gray screen back here.
Okay. I was thinking Viva La Raza, the NWO Wolfpack. I remember them back in the day. My other co-host, who's with us. Back, he took a week off after having his son. Finn joined us, and that is Nate underscore dirt 19. Nate, how we doing?
Well, I'm hanging out in this sweet hotel room for the next couple weeks at training in one of the worst cities in probably America. It's just not a very nice place, but the hotel room's nice and the training's it's important for work. I miss my kid, but
have you ever been to Philadelphia?
No, but
that's one of the worst cities in America, I'm sure. I was thinking maybe you are in Philadelphia. If you're calling it the worst city in America. What city are you in?
I'm in Decatur. It smells terrible all the time. Everything's closed down. It is just not a nice place. And we're out here climbing poles all day long, sweating and working hard. And the smell of rotten corn is just blowing straight at us all day long. It's great.
So Nate's got a newborn, and what he decided to do was get a hotel room so he could sleep. Yeah. So, I respect the grind. You know, when you said where you are is the worst city in the world, in the United States, I'm starting to think where Justin lives is the worst city in the United States, and that only has about 80 people. People are getting motorcycles stolen out of their garage, so if you live where Justin lives, you better get some locks and chains for your motorcycles.
I tell you what, man, we still haven't found that thing. And I've driven around town a couple of times. I don't think it was an in-town thing. We kind of believed that it was staked out the night before. My wife heard a truck, and as soon as she opened the front door, because they were parked in front of our house kind of watching, and as soon as she opened the front door, they took off.
Weird. You don't want to get yourself involved in that, man. Mind your own business.
Oh, no. Yeah, I do. I wish if I – I'll do anything I can to help find that, man. That's just not right.
Yeah, but that's biker gangs, and mind your own business, you know. And,
no,
and
let them... out in the country, it was stolen for meth money, and I could take them.
Well, all right, but if you're hearing this, we recorded an episode a day or two ago where we talked about our bathroom board bets. We checked up on them. We talked about our preseason rankings. We checked up on those, and while we were recording live. Justin found out that a motorcycle was stolen. But anyway, where you can find those rankings we did this preseason, it was at fusionffb.com. And that leads me into our guest this evening, and that is Joshua Bigby of fusionffb.com. Joshua, what's happening, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for finally being on here with you. You knocked it back to 9:30 for me. Thanks, everybody. I couldn't be here earlier, so. Appreciate that, and good to be here.
Hey, man, we wanted to get you on. We wanted to spread the love, and we appreciate the fact that you allow us to put our content on your website. So we needed to get you on the episode in season, and it's almost like we got a little Frankenstein thing going on. Rich Gonzalez is in the chat. Joshua's here. That's there's about five of us from the Frankenstein League all here right now, and it says there's three viewers, so I'm assuming one or two of the other viewers is probably in Frankenstein as well. And me and Justin were actually talking about possible names for the other two Frankenstank divisions. We're doing two or three, so we're going to get the word out. But hopefully, Joshua, you'll be back next year, and we'll continue to get this thing rolling. But all right, so you guys know that Joshua, by the way, is the creator of Next Week Tonight and the Fusion Flex League. His Twitter handle is @generally_aware, and his website's Twitter handle is @FusionFFB. Just so you guys know, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, and via the YouTube channel. And we really would appreciate it if you're listening on a podcast, if you could check out our YouTube channel, hit the like and subscribe button. That would really help us out. And, you know, throw in a comment here and there when you can. I know Justin, you put the link up here.
Down there in that bottom corner underneath Joshua's left shoulder.
All right, cool. All right, guys, I feel like we've been doing the introduction and it's taken a little bit of time, and everybody knows we're doing the Fantasy Cares thing this season. Every 50 followers will be donating $10 to Fantasy Cares. I think we're going to do that towards the Tim Tebow Foundation, which is, you know, to prevent human trafficking. Right now we're at $80 total. And we're 9 followers away from hitting our next target, which is 639. We really appreciate you guys. All right, let's get right into the news. One of the news is that Joshua has a sweet picture behind him. Everyone thought that was really cool. Is that Julian Edelman?
Yes, it is.
And he's got a picture of Julian Edelman in his bedroom. You're a Patriots fan.
Oh, I am. I'm unapologetically.
I love it.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Maine, and then I live – actually, hey, Nate, you should come over and watch on Sunday. I'm going to be bachelor this weekend too. I'm not that far from you right now. So, yeah, New England, all Boston sports up there. So,
where in Maine?
I still am. I don't care where I live now.
Where in Maine did you grow up?
All the way up.
I have cousins from Bangor.
That's the middle, like literally the middle. Everyone that you know, many times I've heard that. Yeah.
Right.
Bangor is considered Northern Maine because it's the northernmost part of like civilized Maine, but there's another like half of the state after that right. still to go.
They're from Lisbon. And my uncle was in a bluegrass band. So we would go up there every summer and we'd go to bluegrass festivals. And they would have like lobster, whatever you do with lobster, lots of lobster and lots of music. And it's a beautiful state. It's a very beautiful state. It's a fun drive in the fall. All right. So we got Doug Tompkins is in the chat now, too. Doug, we appreciate you hopping in. All right, guys. Le'Veon Bell.
By the way, I Johnny Smith touchdown. I had to say it.
Look at Joshua.
I thought you were on the, you're on the train now. I forgot. Right. You jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Now he's on the train. Yeah.
Remember when we were arguing Jonnu versus Austin Hooper and, you know.
Hey, Hooper's Darwin. Hooper's doing okay.
I was cut Hooper. Darwin. That's all it was. I still believed in Jonnu. That's why I'm so excited. I had him so many
times. You didn't.
But I thought that Blake Jarwin was going to be better. And if not for the knee injury, obviously, he would have been.
No, Dalton Schultz is better than Blake Jarwin.
Okay, that's fine.
We will never know.
So I can say that. All right, Le'Veon Bell released by the Jets. What are you guys thinking? Joshua, I'll go to you first. Le'Veon Bell released by the Jets.
I don't know, man. I found out on my drive home to get on here. I get back and I say in our chat, oh, and I'm home and he's cut. Fun. First of all, I mean, I was trying to look it up quick, so forgive me if this is not completely 100% like precise, but it's something like a 6 million cap hit. So I kind of doubt there's many teams that could actually claim him off waivers. If someone wants to look that up, you could. I was going to start doing it. There was too many things to do here, but that would limit even the options, but he's probably going to free agency, like Fournette kind of situation, I would imagine. And then you just got to start thinking about teams that could use a new starting running back. And there's a few teams that came to mind. I don't know if we were going to jump into that yet, but.
Well, I know Justin, you had a landing spot in mind. Where do you think he might end up?
Well, I'm trying to look up on Spot Track to see if there's any teams that could afford him, but honestly,
I can keep talking while you do that. But.
Even if, I don't. I mean, I did write down that my landing spot for him would be Chicago if they can afford him. But the thing is, it's not a matter to me of whether or not they could afford him. It's a matter of I don't think anybody's going to want to pay $6 million for a running back to come in, learn a new system, that sort of thing. Like even as bad as Chicago's situation is right now at the running back spot, I still feel like they would just as soon wait until he clears waivers and then just try to sign him as a free agent and save themselves a bunch of money. So, I mean, even if they do that, realistically, he could still be ready to suit up by Sunday. And I don't think that he would, obviously. Maybe it's up. I don't think he'd play necessarily, or maybe play a limited role. But the reason I say Chicago is obviously, with Tariq Cohen going down, they need that receiving back. He's also a good every other thing back. And Chicago, as bad as they are, is still a better team than the Jets. So it's a good landing spot for him. David Montgomery has underperformed this year. And he's underperformed the last couple of seasons, obviously. But he's serviceable. He's a good back, I guess. But obviously, if you can get a Le'Veon Bell, that would really improve your backfield a lot.
I mean, I think they had a crowded backfield, but he's familiar with the division. And Ingram and Dobbins really haven't taken off. And I know Gus Edwards is still there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had the cap space, if they added him to their running back room. And I could see them keeping four running backs, and another team that I think, New England's another team that they have, lots of running backs, but I think they like having lots of running backs. And I can see them adding Le'Veon Bell to go alongside James White and Rex Burkhead and, Sony Michel, and then just change it up every single week. I think Bill Belichick, he demands respect, and I could see Le'Veon Bell going in there because he wants to win a championship. But again, I think the AFC North, I could see him going back home.
What does our resident New England Patriot fan think of that? Going to New England, possibly.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I can see both ways. Part of me says, no way, they're not going to do it. First of all, from a financial point of view, they pretty much used everything they had just to get Cam. But on the other hand, it's Bill Belichick. So, yeah, he could.
Didn't they free up a lot of money by, like, for this season? Say if they signed up for just this season, didn't a lot of the guys opting out free up cap space? Like after Cam, they signed Cam, and then all of a sudden all these guys opted out, and then boom, they got like $15 million.
They also gave Cam some COVID to save a couple weeks worth of incentives.
Yeah, so I mean, it isn't a money question for them, but I'm just not sure they were going to do it.
Right, respect
but
that.
Sony, depending on how badly the Sony is hurt, he's going to be out another 2-3 weeks on that short-term IR. Seemed to me like the Patriots put him on there like the first chance they got, and as soon as Damian Harris was ready to go, they were good. Let's get Damian in here.
Michelle's a bust.
Yeah. The other team I was thinking about instead of that same division, though, actually both teams in the same division. I don't want to take anybody's here going double dip here, but I think either the Dolphins or the Bills are also serious contenders here. Bills, similar to the Bears situation, they have a winning record. They're in a position they feel like that team feels like they can do something. So they would love to get somebody, and never had any faith in Singletary being the guy. And now Zach Moss gets dinged up. He's inactive tonight. So I could see the Bills going after him, saying, hey, we've got everything else going for us. What we need now is a dominant running back. This could be the final piece. I could definitely see the Bills. And also maybe the Dolphins feel like bringing in that veteran, these other running backs. I mean, I love Gaskins, but he is a little bit of a jack.
Yeah, Rich said that as well in the chat. But I don't know if Flores would I don't know, man. He seems like a no-nonsense guy. Like, Belichick's no-nonsense, but he also demands respect. So get in, I'll give you a chance. But I don't know if Flores is the type of cat who, if he's building some type of culture there, if he'd want Bell. Another team, you know, it's the last time I think the Seahawks are interesting because they would run the ball 40, 50 times a game if they could. I know Russell Wilson's slinging it right now, but I always say, you know, the way to win in the playoffs is by running the ball. And, you know, Chris Carson's got injury history. Then behind him, they don't really have too much, and it would be a great 1-2 punch.
Well, Nate, now that we've named off 32 teams, are there any left that you think he might land?
Not really. I don't look much into it. I feel like it's been so long since I've even seen Lovebell play. I don't even know if he's still like, I mean, I know he's really, really good. It's like you forget what you're doing, but I just feel like he hasn't been relevant enough for me to pay attention. That's maybe just because the Jets stink, but you know, I don't know. He'll be good. He goes to ruin somebody's backfield in fantasy, but you know, that's about all he's good for.
Or maybe right. On his
Well, that's enough. I think we got enough Le'Veon Bell here. Yeah, he could definitely work on his rap career if he wants. That Miami would be great. You know, go down to Miami, you know, maybe him and Will Smith could cut a track together. All right. We got some more news. Dak Prescott broke an ankle. He's out 4 to 6 months. Supposedly the surgery went well. And you know, he could get franchise tagged again next year. He's most likely going to be back in Dallas. But, you know, I think Andy Dalton picks right up where Dak left off. I don't think, you know, if Dak scored an A every week, I think Dalton's going to be scoring a B. I think he'll do just fine. So that's – you guys got anything to say on the Dak Prescott injury?
All right, I don't. I don't think it's going to look bad with Dalton back there as people might imagine. I don't know if that's what you said. I had to split for a second.
Yeah, I said if Dak graded out as like an A on a weekly basis, I think Dalton will grade out as a B. You know, it's not going to be close to failing. It's not going to be phenomenal, but it's going to be good. I think Dalton will do I think he'll do just well. All right, Deontay Johnson has a back injury. He's expected back this week. Chase Claypool stepped up in a major way. In Juju, you know, Juju's still doing Juju things, but now I think Deontay should be back. Claypool's established himself. You know, even Ebron looks decent. So you guys got anything to say on the Deontay Johnson back injury?
I don't know what to do with Deontay anymore. I'm very disappointed. I mean, I know it's not his fault, but I was just so excited this year for everything he has to offer. And it's been pretty disappointing. I hope that this isn't something that's going to linger, not just the back injury, but the injuries in general.
Right.
You know, we all know how good he really is, and I just want to see him succeed, you know, whether it's on my fantasy teams or not. So
I'm interested to see if the Steelers, with the emergence of Chase Claypool and with Deontay Johnson still on his rookie deal, what they do with Juju this offseason. You know, they draft wide receivers in the third or later. Like that's their thing. You know, they're brilliant at it. Like, why pay Juju when you easily, you know, they drafted Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. Someone tweeted out a list of the guys they've drafted after the third round, and they do such a good job. Any of you think that they'll lock Juju up, or any of you think they'll let him go?
I was hearing rumors and you know, Steeler commentators all through even this offseason even saying that they are probably planning on not re-signing him. So I was already had that in my mind coming in. And then if Deontay and now Claypool hit too, then I doubt it. Calls me back to several, many, many years ago now when Antonio Brown was the young guy. And the name of the other player is
Mike Wallace.
Escaping me. Mike Wallace, thank you. I knew it started with an M. That's all I had. He was supposedly the good guy, and they let him go, and they kept AB.
Yep. And they also had Emmanuel Sanders, and they didn't know yet what really they had with those two, but it was pretty fun to watch them. Yes, so looking at that Edelman picture behind you, Juju might be a decent replacement for Julian Edelman if he retires or moves on, but I don't think Edelman's looking to do that just yet. All right. Dalvin Cook hurt his groin in the early third quarter. He came back to play, and then he went out. He's expected to miss at least a week, at least week six. And Alexander Mattison came in and did just fine. What do you guys have to say to the Dalvin Cook owners?
I think that unless I'm wrong, the Vikings are on a bye week 7. So I would imagine that, you know, if it's something that's somewhat, who knows how bad it is, he may just sit out just so he can have 2 weeks off. That would really surprise me, especially with how well Madison plays. And Mike Boone can, I don't know, do Mike Boone things.
Mike Boone. On yesterday's episode, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day prior, we talked about a team that would break out in the second half or after the first quarter. And I think the Vikings are trending upward. If they do not trend upward, I don't expect them to force it with him. But if they are rising and they look like a playoff contender, then I would expect him back, you know, sooner rather than later. All right, now we have Keenan Allen with a back injury. I'm not familiar with how severe this was, but I think, Joshua, you alluded to him, you know, possibly being out when we were talking about Guyton earlier on. What's up with Keenan Allen? When's he expected back? What's the severity? Oh, I think Joshua muted himself.
I didn't remember doing that.
Yeah.
I brought that up as a possibility in case he missed more time than was expected, but I was reading about it earlier today, and it was muscle spasms, back spasms. So they now have a week 6 bye with the changing of the schedule. So he'll have this week to be good. So I think Keenan sounds like he's going to be fine coming back in week 7.
All right, we got, you know, a few more news, but injuries and stuff like that. I'm going to kind of speed through these so we can get to the rest of the show. But just so you know, Baker Mayfield, he has a rib back thing. He got an X-ray. He's expected to play. I think he'd be back. DJ Chark hurt his ankle late in the game. You know, he seems to be fine, but keep an eye on Chris Conley and Laviska Shenault and Keelan Cole just in case. Kyle Allen, he had a shoulder thing. He's cleared to come back. They did leave Alex Smith in there, though, so it's hard to say. You know, it seems that Kyle Allen's going to be the starter next week, but, you know, it's hard telling, not knowing. You know, we'll see how that plays out. Sammy Watkins hurt his hamstring again. He's expected to miss some time. When you talked about Deontay Johnson, Nate, that's the guy I thought of, Sammy Watkins, a guy who's kind of always got a lingering thing going on, and I'm afraid that, like Sammy Watkins, he's never really going to develop into the one due to that, but hopefully that's not the case. Russell Gage has a shoulder injury, left the game, missed some plays, but he came back, and then A.J. Green is old. And anybody who bought A.J. Green, shame on you, because that guy, it's not happening. A.J. Green's not going to be a thing again ever. I'm sorry. All right, Cam Newton is expected to return week 6. Drew Lock expected to return week 6. Chris Godwin expected to return week 6, and Devontae Adams. So that does it for injury news. Any of you guys have anything to say before we move on to the games of the week? All right, we're good, we're good, we're good. Nate, I'm going to let you chat with us and let us know your game of the week.
There was a couple that I was looking forward to, and of course, I'm really excited to see what Tampa Bay does down there this week. Obviously, my Packers are playing them, but I want to see what they do after the whole fourth down debacle in Chicago and how terrible they did. You know, I know this, it's, I can talk about later when we're talking about betting, but I'm just looking forward to that. I want to see how that defense does and how the Packers look after their bye week.
All right. Justin, what is your game of the week, my friend?
I got a divisional rivalry here, and it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, so we're going to start it off right on Sunday. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Obviously, I think that Cleveland, it's kind of weird right now. I'm out of beer, so I don't really know what to do with my hand. So excuse me for a second.
Just keep doing what you're doing. It looks great.
I got another one.
No, so yeah, I think Cleveland's proven that they do look a lot better than they did last season. They're starting to look a little bit more like the Cleveland that we thought we were going to get last year when we looked at them on paper. They're healthier. Even Landry's still out there playing hurt, and he's slowly getting healthier, and it showed. He had over 80 yards this week. But I still think that Pittsburgh is probably a little too much, especially if Mayfield's injury to his ribs is a little bit more serious than he's leading on. I know he said that he's playing, but ribs aren't no joke to play hurt on, so we'll have to see how it goes. But honestly, they might be better off with that backup that they signed in the offseason.
Interesting. That'll be interesting to see. And the Cleveland Browns, surprisingly, are, what, 4-1?
They won 4 in a row.
Man, who would have thunk it? They beat the Cowboys, and they never should have. But I saw that coming. But I'm not going to make this about me or the Cowboys. I'm sorry, guys. Joshua, what is your game of the week?
Well, Justin took mine, so I kind of went with the obvious one. Monday night, we've got Arizona playing the Cowboys. So I'm probably, maybe I took yours, John, but
nope.
Okay, with the Cowboys, it's seems like it's going to be a high scoring one with the Cowboys defense being bad and Kyler's tearing it up with the Cardinals, and it'll, and I don't think Dalton will have too much trouble, at least scoring some points. And I think they're going to lean on Zeke and their running game a lot more even now. So if you have Zeke, good for you. It's just going to be a banger. So
it's going to be a banger. I love that. Looking forward to bangers. I hate Monday night and Sunday night games when the Cowboys play because I can't sleep. It stresses me the hell out. But this season, they haven't been stressing me as much because I have no faith in them. So if I have no faith in them, there's really nothing to worry about. All right. My game of the week is the Chiefs at the Bills. I've been kind of riding the Bills this season. The Bills and the Titans are it's easier for me to cheer for another AFC team because they're not in the conference the Cowboys play in. So it doesn't feel like blasphemy. But I enjoy watching the Bills play. You know, I enjoy watching the Titans play, and clearly, you know, I enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs play. So I'm excited to see the Chiefs play the Bills. I think it's going to be a tough contest. I'm a little higher on Devin Singletary, I think, than you guys all are. I'm interested to see, you know, the matchup of Singletary versus Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm interested in seeing Josh Allen versus Mahomes, and I'm interested in seeing, you know, the two LSU phenomenal defensive backs and Tre'Davious White, Tyrann Mathieu. I'm interested in seeing those guys on the field. I think it's going to surprisingly be a defensive game. And what that means is I'm going to be wrong. And everybody go start all of the Chiefs and Bills and DFS this next weekend. But I think this is going to be a great game.
So kind of to what you said about you being higher on Singletary stuff, but mainly for me, it's just because of Zach Moss more than anything. But just so you know, Singletary tonight, 11 carries, 25 yards, one catch for 8.
Okay.
Not very exciting.
Timmy Elton's tearing it up, though.
Titans defense is solid. It's just, I mean, but how's Josh Allen doing?
Not good enough to win the damn game.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody on the Bills has really looked too good, no?
Steph, we're down early too, but I think that affects Singletary as well. So
yeah, so these are all important things. I think the Josh Allen hasn't been playing very well. That offense has, but whatever. This isn't a Devin Singletary bashing podcast. Nate, why don't you tell everybody about the Thrive app, my friend?
So we recently teamed up with the Thrive Fantasy app. It's an app. I think I'm the only one that can play it actually, and I've been playing it for over a year now. I just mean because the state I live in. I don't believe Justin or John can play. I'm not sure about Joshua if you can or not. It's a fun app to play. It's a lot different than anything else. I started playing it because I couldn't bet on sports like I can now. Basically, you get in different contests like your regular DFS apps, but this one you don't pick just certain players. You pick player props. There's usually 20 to pick from, I believe, and you pick, I think, 12 to for how many points you can get. And then there's a couple like emergency ones if something doesn't happen. But it's a lot of fun. You know, I think tonight I saw that like Jonnu Smith was a half a touchdown. And if you said he'd get one touchdown, you get 125 points. And then obviously the under, I think, was probably 100 or something like that. But it's a fun app there. You got a pretty good deal going right now. If you deposit $20, they'll match it and give you 20. I believe it's up to $50. So, you know, it's a pretty good deal for you. You deposit 50 and get 50 back. When you enter our promo code, which is T2T down there, that way, underneath Joshua there, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T, give it a try. It's fun, it's a lot different than anything that I'd ever played. And the one thing that was nice, too, there's not usually, a million people in every contest. So, your chances of winning are definitely a little better. But, yeah, give it a shot. You can download it, wherever you can find all your apps at.
What I'm going to have to do is Venmo you, like $20, and then we'll have a chat over the WhatsApp, and you'll tell me some of the things that are available, and I'll tell you what to play so that I can play. because I would enjoy doing that, but it's going to take a little bit of work. But you know what? Nothing fun was ever easy, right?
And we got nothing but time.
Whatever it takes to cheat.
I don't know if that's how the saying goes. Yeah. All right. That leads us into our betting segment for the week. So Nate, go ahead and let everybody know how they're going to win some money.
Right on. Well, last week, I didn't have any locks last week because I wasn't very confident. But just my regular, what I thought, stuff I liked. I was 2-1. Was right with the Cardinals -7 and then the Steelers -7. I was getting nervous with the Steelers and the Eagles. They kind of started slowing up a little bit. And where I was wrong was the Colts. But we're not going to talk about that because Justin and I just don't want to talk about it. Huh. So this week, some stuff I like. You know, they caught my eye anyways. The Vikings -3.5 versus the Falcons. I think that regardless of whether or not Dalvin Cook plays, that the Vikings should have no issues with that defense. They got guys that are slower than me out there, I think, playing in the secondary.
Huh.
Because they nobody can stay happy.
What's your speed? What's your speed, Nate?
If I ran like a 7-second 40, I'd probably be doing pretty good. I'm not very fast. I don't know if it's that slow, but probably. Okay. I don't think that I guess Dan Quinn's gone now. I haven't heard the announcement yet. I was busy today, but so that may change things because I think sometimes when if a player's they are the reason somebody gets fired, they want to show up, you know. So that may change it. But you know, when your defense is terrible, there's not much you can do. And the Vikings looked pretty good last weekend against another poor defense. But I think that's one that is pretty good. Ravens -7.5 at the Eagles. I don't think the Eagles can hang, and hopefully if the Ravens get up early, they'll cruise. The last one that I like just looking at wise was the Cardinals -2.5 at the Cowboys. I believe Joshua touched on earlier with his games of the week. I don't think that the Cowboys will be able to stop the Cardinals, and I'm not sure, without Dak, not that, like we said, it's a big fall off, but it is one. And then my locks of the week, the ones I really like, we're 6-7 on the year, I guess. So we're under 500, but hopefully we'll get back with this one. But I'm hammering the Dolphins -8 with the Jets coming to town. The Dolphins look good. And I don't think that the Jets, they're not going to be able to do anything. You know, that defense is looking good. And Fitzpatrick is just slinging the ball. And my last one is my homer pick, obviously Packers -2.5 at the Bucs. I don't think the Bucs are going to stop them. I don't think, with Godwin back or not, I don't think it matters. I don't think the Bucs are really firing on all cylinders yet. I think they may at some point, but not yet. So lock them in.
Lock them in. I love it. I love having you back, and I love having your locks and your bets. And I think this is the week where you start getting hot. You're 6-7. You're one game away from being 500. All it takes is one. All right, and you're going to be correct on all of them. Shepstradamus has said it.
Get the hammer out.
Shepstradamus stamped it. All right. Let's go on to dudes and duds. So my dudes for the week, I got Kyler Murray at Dallas. It's been foreshadowed in this episode quite a few times. The Cowboys defense can't stop anybody. All right. So Nate said he's like the secondary out there, but if he was playing quarterback in this game, I don't think Dallas would be able to stop him. So I think Kyler has a great matchup. Start him up. Roethlisberger versus Cleveland. Deontay should be back, and Claypool has emerged. He's got weapons on weapons on weapons. Start Ben Roethlisberger, especially at home. Jonathan Taylor versus Cincinnati. It looks like Jonathan Taylor is starting to come along. He's starting to get a little stronger, and he's starting to be a little more involved in the game plan. I like this matchup for him, and I expect him to hit his stride this week. Miles Gaskin versus the New York Jets. Gaskin is the type of cat who, if you picked him up within the last few weeks, he can definitely help you win a championship. That would take a little bit of a hurt if Le'Veon Bell goes there. But right now, Le'Veon Bell is not. Put him in. Start him up. He's a weekly start at this point. They just beat up on the 49ers last week, the Dolphins. So the Jets are next. And I have a bet this offseason that the Dolphins win more than 5.5 games. So I'm feeling very good about that win versus the San Francisco 49ers. This next guy, this wide receiver, might be a little bit of a deep dive, but I wanted to throw him in there because DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald would be a little too easy. Andy Isabella at Dallas. Slot wide receivers have eaten versus the Dallas Cowboys. I expect Isabella to play in the slot, and I expect him to get into the end zone. Not once, but twice. Start up Andy Isabella. A.J. Brown versus Houston. He scored a touchdown in his first game back. That was tonight, and I think he's ready to rock and he's ready to roll. Start him up versus Houston. And then finally at tight end, this one's for Nate. It's Bob Tonyan. Green Bay is lacking weapons. They will have Davante Adams back, and that should take a little bit of the heat that Bob's gained off. All right, so Bob Tonyan, he's gotten to the end zone every single week. I expect him to get back in there this one. Now for my duds. Teddy Bridgewater versus Chicago. Chicago held Brady to 243 yards and one touchdown last week. Chicago's coming off of a 10-day rest. I think they'll give Teddy everything he can handle right now. Teddy's been hot, don't get me wrong, but I think Chicago's going to cool him down. And then Deshaun Watson versus Tennessee. Tennessee has done a great job bottling up Josh Allen, at least up to the point where we watched it, and I think that Tennessee is going to have do a good job against Deshaun Watson. You know, Watson and Cooks came on this past week, but I think they're going to cool down a little bit as well. So I'm sitting Deshaun Watson. Aaron Jones versus Tampa Bay. This might not be what Nate wants to hear, but I think Tampa Bay is very, very strong against the run, and I think this is going to be Jones's toughest matchup of the season. So I think Tampa Bay shuts him down. Todd Gurley at Minnesota. Gurley looked solid in week 5, but I don't think he's going to stay solid. I think that Minnesota is finally starting to come around. They're starting to improve as a team, and that means the defense is also improving. I expect Todd Gurley to be shut down this week. Mike Evans versus Green Bay. Evans has consistently gotten himself into the end zone so far this year, but his yardage totals have been inconsistent. He had 200-yard games, I think 2 games less than 5 yards, and then a 45-yard game. I think if he sees a lot of Jaire Alexander, it's going to be a tough matchup for him, and I don't think he can keep up the touchdown for a game thing he's got going on there. So I don't think he gets in the end zone this week. So sit Mike Evans. I'm sitting every San Francisco wide receiver I have on my roster. I think, you know, Jalen Ramsey's out there. They got a tough secondary. And also, I don't believe in who's going to be throwing the ball to San Francisco. You know, I was a Nick Mullins guy for the past 2 years, and he got a chance. He didn't play very well. I need to reconsider how I evaluate quarterbacks. They benched Garoppolo last week. Was it an injury, or is Beathard better than him? I just don't know. I don't trust San Francisco wide receivers. I trust Kittle, and I trust Mostert, and I don't know why they don't trust Mostert, but we can have a whole nother conversation about that because I think he's a dude, and I think Shanahan's dumb for not giving him more touches. But anyway, don't start any San Francisco wide receivers. And finally, Tyler Higbee at San Francisco. It seems as if Higbee has been passed on the depth chart. I'm shutting him down. I don't have faith in him. If I have a better option, that's what I'm doing. Guys, you can find my dudes and duds at fusionffb.com. There's going to be an article there every single week that'll say, you know, week 6, toilets to titles. You'll see our podcast on there. You could find everything that we have. I put it on the show notes and I put it in there. So you don't have to write all this stuff down. Josh, I think you have a few dudes and duds this week. So let me hear them.
Yeah. Well, you referenced it earlier next week tonight. That's actually kind of a weekly podcast I do on my podcast, but it's kind of a series I do in season where I try to predict. I do basically next week, but a week ahead of time. So it comes out on Fridays, Friday morning. It'll be up and ready for you. You can listen to it and try to get some names. I do players that you want to add before this week's weekend's games. I try to predict the players that are all going to be hot ads on, and you can get them for free before they lock. Same thing, I try to get streamers for the following week, especially when now we're in bye weeks. So you can set up all those nice, you know, cushy matchups. You can get all those lined up for free ahead of time. And then trades you should be making, again, before everyone's clued into like the schedule or anything, you can make those moves ahead of time. Last week, one of my big calls was sell McKinnon. So it's that kind of thing. You could have made that move before this week's games, before we knew for sure Mostert was going to be back. So those are kind of things I try to look at. You already hit on one of my streamers was Ben Roethlisberger. I was saying start all your Steelers versus the Browns. We've hit on that a couple times already. But one in here I like, even last week, my last week streamer was Gerald Everett. You referenced Higbee kind of getting past a little bit. Playing the footballs, Washington. So I'm going to go back to that well this week. We've got Evan Engram, who seems to be coming on alive a little bit there, especially with Saquon still out. So I'm going to go. I like Evan Engram as a solid tight end start here.
I hope you're right, because I have a lot of Evan Engram. So I really do. And I wish, you know, Josh, he's on fire. I think he's on fire with his next week tonight with his calls this season. We need to, whenever we put Josh's Twitter handle up from now on, you need to put a fire emoji next to it. All right, he's earned that. I'm going to give away awards to the guests we have, and maybe even Justin and Nate by giving them emojis next to their Twitter handles on the show. And Joshua, congratulations. You're the first person to earn one of those awards. And from now on, you'll be your Twitter handle, fire emoji. So I hope that makes you feel good. Justin, let's go into our streams for week 6.
Yeah, and while we're boasting of Joshua a little bit here, I want to say that I usually like to call him my low-risk, high-reward analyst, because when I listen to that next week tonight, it's like he's rarely wrong about it. And I'm not even just joking. Like, and I don't know where he gets all this. Like, he's a brain. But and seriously, he is. He's almost always right. But the very few times
– Is it Jostradamus?
Yeah, Jostradamus. There you go. But the very few times that he might be wrong, to get for nothing 2 weeks before. So it doesn't really matter. Like, there's no risk in the guy if he doesn't pan out. You know, worst case scenario, people make fun of you because Braxton Berrios didn't get that touchdown or whatever. You know what I mean? Or in this case, Chase Claypool doesn't get those 4 touchdowns like he predicted, you know? So, like, I mean, he didn't predict 4 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? He's not that good, but he's good. So, living the stream here. So my streamers this week for quarterback, I'm going to go with Kirk Cousins against the Falcons. I'm not really sure how this is possible, but the Falcons secondary seems to be getting worse every single week. Anybody can blow up that secondary, and Kirk Cousins found Thielen for 2 more touchdowns this week. They're on those two, so at the very least, you can expect a big game from him. And in a minute, I'm going to be talking about Irv Smith. I believe we mentioned him a little bit earlier, but same idea. Like, he's got another target now, and Justin Jefferson's picked it up. I think they're all going to have a big game this week. If they're all going to have a big game this week, then he's going to have a big game this week. Roethlisberger, I don't really want to pound that drum again, but I will say that there is another drum I want to pound, because I like to find Colts fans regularly that the Browns, that's who Roethlisberger plays this week. They finally found a quarterback that they can slow down, but it was Phillip Rivers, so it doesn't really count. Roethlisberger plays the Browns this week, that secondary, and all these shiny new toys that he has to throw it to. I think he's going to have an incredible week. And the reason he's a streamer is because he's still actually unowned in at least 40% of ESPN leagues. So, assuming we're one quarterback leagues, a lot going on right now with bye weeks and schedule changes and everything. So maybe you might need to pick him up. But running backs, again, running backs are hard to stream on a weekly basis. So if you're streaming running backs, you're already hurting. But why not take a chance with a guy like Tony Pollard? He's going against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are among the worst in the league against the run. They have faced Mostert, who's obviously good, Gibson, who it was his second game, and Peterson, who's kind of down now. Mike Davis is a good backup in a good system, but a backup. Le'Veon Bell is Le'Veon Bell, and still, like, they're among the worst in the league against the run. So those aren't great names, not bad names. But Zeke Elliott is a great name, and I think he's going to have a huge game this week. I do think that the Cardinals the Cowboys kind of pound the Cardinals this week.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, Zeke's going to be for you quite a bit. I don't think it's going to be a huge change as far as the run game goes, but maybe 5 to 10% more run than what they're used to or what they have been running, which will equal a lot of opportunity for Zeke, but he'll also get more in the passing game as well because of Alton, quarterback. So I think that he might have to rest a little bit more, and maybe they go up big and you get some garbage time points with Tony Pollard. So Pollard is athletic. Like he is a really good running back in his own right. So when he's given the opportunity, he usually performs. So I'm going to roll with Tony Pollard as a running back streamer. I threw in Chase Claypool as a wide receiver here just because he's hardly owned in any leagues, especially on ESPN. But obviously, if you already own him, you saw this game, and now they're playing the Browns, and you're going to start him. Or if you didn't own him and you own him now because you picked him up off of waivers, then you picked him up because you're going to start him. So it's kind of a no-brainer. But I do have two more here from our guest here. So Joshua – the two wide receivers that you threw in here.
Yeah, a couple guys here that I like. One I definitely wanted to bring up, especially you, John, were talking about Isabella. He was a guy who I brought up in my show along with my pick here, which actually Christian Kirk. You didn't actually mention him at all. You mentioned everyone else. But Christian Kirk is reestablishing himself here, and I think everyone was giving up on him a little bit too quick. He tied Hopkins for targets just this last week. He's getting back into things. And he is actually better suited for that slot role. I think he's always done better in the slot, at least himself, whether he can do better than Isabella or not. Meanwhile, for some reason, Kirk is getting like tons of these air yards, but that seems like it would fit Isabella better. I wish they would just switch places, but anyway, that's a different topic. I like him, but in deeper leagues, I still, like I even said, in deeper leagues, Isabella is a great guy to roll with. And then another one that's kind of a little bit deeper here, but it really shouldn't be, Keelan Cole of the Jags. Look, probably don't follow my advice, because historically, every time I've bought into Keelan Cole, he's burned me. But hey, he's quietly tied for the most targets, target share, and touchdowns with 3 on the Jags. I mean, Chenault's doing good. Everyone's happy about the rookie. Of course, DJ Chark. Everyone loves DJ Chark. Keelan Cole just kind of there, and everyone forgets about him, and he's probably there for you to pick up. But they're playing the Lions, and he gets all the short yardage kind of work, and that works really well against the Lions. So I think this could be kind of a high volume game. You may not get a touchdown, but you could get a lot of that shorter stuff. And he has good, like I said, he's tied for most touchdowns with 3 on the team.
He's a deep threat. I think I was the leader of the Keelan Cole fan club 2 years ago, probably when me and Justin or me and Nate first started chatting. I was big on the Keelan Cole hype train. Last year it died down a little bit. But he's had hot streaks, and his hot streaks aren't just like 2 weeks. Like, he'll have like 5 big games in a 7-week span. You know, he did that 2 years ago. So it's possible again. And with Minshew, I have more faith in him. So I like it. I love these streams, and I've added since Justin told me about your podcast next week tonight. You know, I've added that to something that I need to look out for, because anything that can help me get a competitive edge over people I'm playing against, you know, not just dynasty, but, you know, home leagues, you know, take it to the bank, man. It's especially if I'm playing for money, not just bragging rights. It's take it to the bank. So, all right. Now DFS play. Speaking of bank, last week was my first loss. Oh, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
I was going to say we do have a few more here.
I'm sorry.
That was just the wide receivers. We still got some tight ends and defenses here. But Irv Smith is a guy that I wanted to mention. Honestly, if it wasn't for Irv Smith being on this list, I probably would have just let you go ahead and roll forward, because I'm not super proud of the rest of these anyway. But Irv Smith is one that we really need to talk about. He's going against the Falcons again. We've already talked about the Falcons and how many points they give up. They're actually the worst in the league when it comes to yards against tight ends. And Rudolph, I think it's finally time. Last year we thought it was going to be time, and they kind of split 50-50. And I think after this last week, we finally kind of seen that Rudolph is going to be relegated mostly to a blocking tight end, and Irv is going to be more of that pass catching tight end. So he's kind of a little miniature turtle head here, if you want to look at it that way, which you probably don't want to visualize it that way, but he's kind of a minute ahead of the way. So if you do get him this week and he does have a good week, then you might want to hang on to him. I like his future there. And especially if you have him in Dynasty, you're going to hang on to him anyway, but you're going to start him this week. And I think you're going to be a little bit more happy with the results because you've been hanging on to him for a couple of years now. And he's finally going to let you reap some good benefits from that. We also got Eric Ebron on here again. He's playing the Browns. It's the Browns. Enough said. For my defenses, I've got Washington playing against the Giants, and then I also have the Giants playing against Washington. There aren't a whole lot of good streaming defenses this week, and Joshua took the only real good one out there. So those two, both of the offenses are not that great. I would kind of lean a little bit more towards the Giants just because that quarterback position for Washington is still so much up in the air. I think they might be able to get some sacks and confuse the quarterback a little bit. Who knows? We might even get to see Alex Smith again. But Josh, go ahead and tell them who you got for your defense here.
Yeah, Nate kind of referenced it before. I really like the Dolphins plan. I switched up. It was the Broncos. So last week when I did my streamers, I had the Dolphins versus the Broncos. Huh. But hey, the Jets work too. So fire them up. I think, Flores has them playing pretty well. I think they're underrated.
Love it. Love it. All right. So now I'm sorry. I jumped the gun earlier, but now I am rolling. All right. This week was the first week I took an L since the start of the year in DraftKings, but luckily I had enough in there. You know, I don't bet everything I got in there. So luckily, you know, I'm still up. I'm still ready to roll. But let's turn it back on, right? let's go up again. Let's go into the green this week for my DraftKings DFS plays. We spoke about Roethlisberger. Oh, again, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, what I'm doing every week now is I'm submitting a lineup. I'm not just telling you bargain plays. This is a lineup I'm actually submitting. I got Ben Roethlisberger versus Cleveland at 6,700. I got Antonio Gibson at the New York Giants at 5,500. Miles Gaskin versus the New York Jets at 5,400. Kenny Galladay at the Jacksonville Jaguars at 6,200. Chase Claypool versus Cleveland at 5,200. Terry McLaurin at the New York Giants at 5,700. That's two Redskins. All right. We might be a reason to be a little nervous, but I love the matchup for McLaurin, and I think Gibson is going to have a very good game. Also, tight end Jonnu Smith versus Houston, 5,200. At flex, this is my biggest, most expensive cat. It's Alexander Mattison versus Atlanta at 7,200. He's my boom play. And then for defense, I'm starting the Dolphins versus the Jets at 2,900, surprisingly low. I love it. Yeah, that secondary, that defense, I think, like you guys were saying about Flores, I think they'll be flying around the field, and I don't even think it's close. So that's a lineup I am starting. If any of you guys have anything to say about possible DFS plays, jump in now. If not, Justin can take over and move on to Turtleheads.
Okay. Well, so Justin, or let's say Joshua's got some Turtleheads for you because, like we said before, Joshua has his next week tonight. This is kind of what he does, and he is good at it. So I'm gonna let our guest take the floor here and give us a Turtlehead or two. And then we'll pick up from there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't had a ton of chance to get through my normal, you know, Thursday night process. I block off like 4 or 5 hours during the game and I go through things. But a couple here that popped out to me, and a couple that I've said last week and one of the guys week before that that's now relevant. So I did like your Irv pick. He definitely belongs in the conversation for this, Irv Smith. I was on him earlier in the season and coming into the season, but maybe we just needed to wait a little while. So he's a guy, someone that maybe now people are going to be paying attention to, LaMichael Perine of the Jets, because Bell's gone. He's someone I was looking at when he returned and saying they don't really like Bell. He wasn't back yet. But LaMichael Perine, he was, even in Dynasty, a guy was saying that you could go after in a rebuild kind of situation. looking forward to next season. But if the Jets look like they're ready to just get ready for next season now, cutting Bell basically, then they may want to start seeing what he has. So go ahead, and you probably want to get him into your waivers even tonight. You're not going to be able to wait and pick him up for free now. Somebody that, especially because the Patriots didn't play last week, so he's going to continue to go under the radar. But Demir Byrd quietly actually led the team in targets last week. He's been getting a large target share throughout. If you didn't connect the dots like me being a dummy right away, even though they're my own Patriots, I completely forgot that he and Newton played with each other in Carolina.
Right.
When Byrd first came in. So they have familiarity. That's been at least helped them coming in. It's probably irrelevant at this point, but he's established himself as that third guy. So if Edelman or Harry and everybody gets injured, even if they don't, he's a solid, deeper option. And then this is the new guy. I'm going to go on a little bit of a limb based on what I was watching just last night with the Chargers and Justin Herbert. He's got an arm on him, and he was firing that ball out there. We saw that pay off when he finally started going deep to Mike Williams. So he's obviously the guy you're going to pick on, and we all love Keenan Allen. And you even mentioned Guyton before.
Right.
But in a little bit deeper situation, especially if Mike Williams gets himself hurt because he can't ever land on his feet, KJ Hill is a very talented speedster who could be a beneficiary of some of those deep balls once Justin Herbert starts getting a little bit more comfortable and doesn't just always check down to Keenan.
Love it. Love it.
He needs all right to be healthy too. He got beat up a couple times last night, I think, without Bulaga was hurt, and I can't think of their guy's name, but like I said, he gets a little time. That, like I said, he's got a rocket for an arm. He's no Josh Allen, but he does all right.
Man, having Joshua on the show kept us in line. This is the first episode in season that we're going to be under 1 hour. Very, very impressive with four guys and we're under an hour. Hey, why don't we discuss this Thrive betting app one more time, just quickly, Nate? Let them know where they can go and let them know what the promo code is.
Yeah, like you said, the Thrive Fantasy app, you can find it on the Google App Store or the Apple Store. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. When you do deposit your first time, whether it's 20, 30, 40, 50, they will match that. And when you use our promo code, which is T2T, the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T, doesn't matter if it's lower or uppercase. But, yeah, give them a shot. I think you'll have some fun. And let us know how you do.
Joshua, you want to discuss this let it go here?
Hey, I don't care. We can do it after show.
We got some time. Let's go ahead. Let us know. Go ahead.
I was going to dig into it on my show a little bit more, but
I was just thinking about it.
And I was just thinking about how we get to this part of the season, and you look at your teams and you look at your benches, and I encourage everyone just out there, look at your teams, look at your benches, and just ask yourself, are each of those players that have been sitting down there, ask yourself the question for each one, am I ever going to start this player? And if the answer is no, then why in the world are you keeping them? Just drop them and pick up one of these guys that sounds crazy. Like Pirine, he's not going to do anything until he does.
Right.
Chase Claypool.
Until he does.
No, I'm going to keep Nyheim Hines on my bench because he had one good game, and I'm not going to pick up Chase Claypool. And that's not how you win leagues. And so I just want to encourage people to ask the question of those players. Hines was a guy, and it was actually just last week. I had a friend, we were talking in Discord chat about it, and I said he was trying to figure out who to add and who he had to cut. And he kept mentioning these other names on his bench. And I'm looking at it. One of them was Brandon Cooks, by the way. And I was like, I don't know. I don't want to cut Brandon Cooks quite yet. I asked him, like, yeah, Nyheim Hines, what's he going to do? They've even gotten Wilkins involved. So, you know, even if Jonathan Taylor was to get injured, they've just moved Wilkins in, and Hines might get a little bit more work, but he's not in a role that's going to ever be able to pay off. Now, I'm not saying to make these decisions based upon volume or current usage right now. I'm saying focus more on the role. If it's a Hines, go back to remember when Turcoen was actually healthy. Now, he got hurt, so that kind of took the decision away. But were you ever starting to Turcoen? Not really. You know, so those are the kind of players you want to focus on. Are you ever starting a Larry Fitzgerald, an AJ Brown? You know, you start getting these players you just don't have faith in. That's the kind of moves I would make. I'm not saying don't stash a Perine or Pollard or Madison. That's paying off now. No, because those were players that are in positions that just one thing has to happen that they are now in a position to pay off.
Right. Right.
And if any other ideas or players that stuck out to you that would fit the bill, I was trying to think through it. I mean, this idea came to me like an hour and a half ago. So
I think I'm going to spend some time thinking on it. And I think maybe we'll hop on your show and we'll dive into the Let It Go segment. So I like it. And yeah. I think it's a great idea. And I think I like how we cover in this episode, we've kind of covered all angles, you know, because you can't just be good or be thinking about one aspect. It's all the aspects that makes you really a well-rounded fantasy football player. Because at the end of the day, you can draft what looks like a phenomenal lineup. And if the players aren't producing, you know, you can't do nothing about it. Or you know what? You can be on top of it. You can be on top of everything else and making moves and putting yourself in the best position to win. And that's what we're trying to do. And having you on the show was a great help. And hopefully it helped all you guys who are listening. So remember, Joshua, he got the award, the fire emoji. You can see his website at FusionFFB. That's the Twitter handle. It's FusionFFB.com. Joshua is at generally_aware without the fire emoji. And everybody, if you enjoyed the show, please hit the like button. Please hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on YouTube, and you got Apple Podcasts, if you could, you know, download the show, subscribe to the show, submit a 5-star review. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Podbean, please, you know, check out our YouTube channel, hit the like and hit the subscribe button, because that's just going to help this show grow. It's going to help us, and it's going to help us to continue to produce this show. You know, and if you appreciate our content, we would really appreciate that. You could follow us on Twitter at Toilets Titles. Again, Justin's at JustinFF_. Nate's at Nate_Dirt19. And I'm at Coach Sheps. And FusionFFB.com is where you can go to find everything we discussed this evening written down. So again, we don't expect you to remember everything. If you forget or if you're setting those lineups and you kind of want to have a guide alongside you, go to that website, check out our article. And then you could also find all of Joshua's work in and out of season. So, Joshua, you got anything to say before we head out?
You hit it all, man. Check out my pod. Like I said, every Friday it comes out morning. I haven't done the video for a couple weeks, but I think I'll be able to get back to that, doing that this week. I'd kind of do a shorter video version. So if that's your thing, you can look for that kind of visual aid to remember the players. But yeah, any edge, like you said, that's what we're looking for. And in this crazy season, it's kind of harder than ever to do, but in some ways, hopefully it can help more than ever too.
Nate, what do you got to say, my friend?
Like I said, it's another week down, and you know, I had some disappointment this week, but you know what? We're still playing football, so it's all fun. And like I said, make it a profitable one, and there you go. Keep staying positive and testing negative.
All right, Justin.
Hey, Joshua, my friend, I appreciate you coming on and giving us your time again. And like I said, just love each other.
All right. And I'm just going to say I'm Team Johnny, and I was Team Miguel, but I feel bad for Robbie. He's in a tough situation. That's how I'm going to end the show. Catch you guys later.